FU Network. Yeah, it's about an attitude, but FU stands for us. Us, regular people, making the type of authentic, honest, down-to-earth programming that big media stomped out of existence. Well, our message to big media is FU. Come on, join the team. Reclaim our media for the common people. Become a supporter for $5 a month via Patreon or PayPal. Patreon.com/FU Network TV or PayPal at FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. That's Patreon.com/FU Network TV or PayPal at FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. Come on, $5 a month? That's $1.50 a week to rebuild real Canadian media. You drop more than that every day on overpriced coffee. Yeah, you do. So if you like our podcasts, tell big media F you and cough up a fin. Now, here's your show.
And now, here's Michelle Badusky, keeping it real.
Hey everyone, this is Michelle Badusky, keeping it real with you on Kick FM Radio, Ed the Sox FU Network, Facebook, YouTube, or on my own website, michellebadusky.ca. Now, I'm really excited today. I have Larissa McDonald. It is McDonald,
it
right?
Is.
It is. I should have asked you that before I hit record. Larissa McDonald is actually one of the administrators on the Westman Homeschooling Facebook page, which I've been a member of for a little while. And she agreed to come talk to me and answer some questions about homeschooling, because this is like the new hot topic since Manitoba released its plan for our back to school. So thanks for being here. I know it's the camera's on and it's a little uncomfortable, but just ignore it. Now, just for a little bit of clarification, for those of you who do follow me on social media, you'll know that in March, when we started schooling from home, which is not homeschooling, I had a really great experience with my kids. I do have three kids at home, 6, 8, and 15. We had a really great experience with it, and I started talking about homeschooling back in March. And I have decided to actually pull my kids out. I did this before the announcement. I kind of feel like I was being a bit trendy, but I did it, you know, before the announcement. And since then, you have seen a huge intake in questions and people asking to join the group. Yeah. So thanks for answering all these questions.
I'll do my best.
So first of all, tell me, you homeschool. You've been doing it for how long?
Well, 14 years officially, right since our oldest was born, but officially we started for preschool or for kindergarten when he was 4 going on 5. And he just graduated this year. So
awesome. So he graduated at 14?
No, he graduated at 18. That was 14 years.
But he 14 started, years.
Yeah,
sorry.
Started at K.
I got all excited there for a second. I was like, holy, super. So how many kids do you have?
Like, we have 8. So run the gamut right from one's graduated at 18 straight through down to a 3-year-old. So I still have lots of years ahead of me.
Good for you. Like, I understand that difference. My oldest, who's out of school now, is 26.
Okay.
So, and I have a 6-year-old. So I get that I call it multiple generation parenting, right? Because we're parenting adults and toddlers at the
same
time.
Drivers and diapers. We did graduates and,
I love that. And I got to admit, there's not too many times I meet parents that I can have that conversation with. So homeschooling. Can I ask why? Like, what was it that drew you to homeschooling?
Well, even when I was still in school, it was an idea there. And probably by the time I was in college, it was something that I knew I wanted to do. So when I met my husband, Neil, it was on the table as, this is what I want to do. Wow. So if not, you might want to look elsewhere.
I love that.
But I didn't want to have to send my kids away for the bulk of their days. I wanted to be with them and to watch them learn and to just spend that time with them, to be a family. I wanted them to be close. We knew we were going to have several kids at least. And eventually those reasons have not changed, but increased. We are Christians, so we teach a Christian worldview within our homeschool. It's a lifestyle. We don't have to like stop our day to get someone out the door at 8 o'clock to get on the bus. And we don't have to wait, being sure that we're home in time to pick them up off the bus and that kind of thing. We can take our holidays when we want, and that's especially freeing living on the farm. We have a couple older ones who will work harvest this year and so push school off until they're in the house kind of thing. And individualized instruction has been huge. We've dealt with a whole range of learning differences, anything from learning difficulty learning to read because of Erlen syndrome, executive functioning struggles, troubles writing, some I would say it's close to dysgraphia, which is a difficulty writing. We had some of the symptoms, not necessarily would have been diagnosed with it, but we have three with hearing loss.
Wow.
And one that I would say is probably close to gifted on that scale. So we've run the gamut right from one end to the other. So,
and I don't mean to kind of pry, but when you weren't homeschooled.
No.
And a lot of times people, I've seen it, and we've seen it. I know people that have just, they homeschool because they were homeschooled. And like you said, it's a lifestyle. But that's something you chose. And I think that is so neat that it...
I would have liked to have been homeschooled, but it was so different to do that back then. It just wasn't something that was...
Well,
you could pick up a book and learn about it or go on the internet.
I was going to say, and the internet has so many resources. And I just want to touch on there the one thing you said. You do Christian-based learning.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, you know, and I think that's one of the myths of homeschooling, mm-hmm. that everyone who homeschools is, you know, Christian-based or it's a religious. That's not it.
Yeah.
You have homeschoolers completely secular.
Yeah.
And, you know, some very, you know, heavy religious base. So it's not just for
and
people.
The secular segment of the homeschooling movement has grown exponentially in the past couple decades. So.
Well, and what I've found for myself, and we talked about this online, but like you said, how many new people have joined the Facebook group?
In June, we had 3, which is a fair good increase sort of for our group. We were under 200. At the beginning of June. We are now over 250. We had 54 members join in July.
In just a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And it was kind of interesting because I joined, and it's the Westman Homeschooling
Connection. Yeah.
Sorry. And I'm a member. It was like there's that, and then there's the Manitoba Association for Schooling at Home.
Yeah.
So, but when I joined, your group was suggested to me by a mutual friend, actually, who homeschools. And we had a fabulous conversation when I talked to her because this is something that I decided was right for my family pretty much in March.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I switched and started working with my kids from home, I realized when you said that individual instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And I, don't get me wrong, I absolutely love and respect teachers. But when they have 30 kids in their class and they have, you know, all these different abilities, different needs, behavioral issues, they don't have the resources that they necessarily need or the support. There's no such thing as individual instruction anymore.
No.
And as a parent who had my oldest, I've had a kid in public school for 22 years already.
Yeah.
The changes I've seen over the last couple decades have not always been positive.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this great experience. And basically what I did is I started homeschooling, whereas, you know, the difference between, and I'm going to ask you to explain this, but when the kids kind of got pulled out of school and they're like, here's some packages from the school, let's keep them up, a lot of parents were struggling
mm-hmm.
to make that transition, and I totally get that. What I did is I actually kind of ignored what the teachers gave me, sorry, and sat down and worked one-on-one with my kids and I kind of really got involved for the first time in what they were learning and was able to come up with stuff at their level.
Right.
And I actually kind of stopped formally, you know, schooling them back in May because they were so far ahead of what was expected for their class. And my husband and I started talking about it going, you know, can we do this?
Mm-hmm.
So what is, or what have you seen the questions? Like, I know a lot of parents are coming through this going, I don't want to send my kids back to school because of COVID. And one of the things that you posted on the website that asked, you know, kind of made me want to just reach out and contact you and say, you know, come talk to me, is that when you said, if you're looking to homeschool for the year because of fears to COVID, you will want to stick to curriculum based. But if this is a lifestyle, that's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
And I am looking, we've already kind of, I've jumped in with both feet and it's like, this is what I want.
Yeah.
But what do you say to those parents? What is that difference? Like, how do you explain that? You did really good.
You sort of asked two questions
yes.
there. One was, what's the difference between public schooling and homeschooling? And what's the difference between COVID schooling and long-term homeschooling? So the difference between public school and homeschool is that if you choose to pull your children from the system, you are on your own for sourcing all of your curriculum, all of the books you need, all of the resources you use. There are a plethora of options out there, And they fall into different categories based on sort of the background philosophy or methodology of teaching. And so it's kind of like when you say, what should I do for grade two? There's no clear-cut answer to that because you sort of need to choose a path. And then we can choose a curriculum that would follow the one or two or three areas that are suited to your family. But I forgot where I was going with that.
Oh, you know, I think that that's huge. Now, are you a teacher?
No.
Like no. When I say teacher, we are teachers.
I did not take education training. I took some education courses. I actually took teaching English as a second language in college. And never have used it, unless you call it, count this. But I haven't actually, like, gone on missions or gone to teach anyone.
So all of this stuff you've learned or and kind of self-taught to teach your kids.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And, I've learned right alongside them. It's been... Yeah, a whole education all over again. So.
I believe it because, like I said, I've been researching this for the past 4 or 5 months to make sure it was what we wanted for our family. And it is the information that is out there.
Yeah.
And I think you nailed it there because I've seen even on my Facebook page, people are like, oh, that's so cool. I want to homeschool too. You know, I'll get the teachers to send me packages. And that's not homeschooling.
No.
You are on your own.
Yeah.
There is no support from the school.
Especially in this scenario where we're dealing with COVID, the teachers are way overwhelmed already. There's no way you can ask them to send homework on for a child that you're pulling from the system. That's not fair. So, yeah, we need to respect them too.
Absolutely.
They have a lot on their plates.
It is different. It's not what happened in March.
It's even different for us as homeschoolers because we can't get together in the groups that we used to. We can't, do the social things. You can't visit the museums the same way that we could before, but yeah.
So that's the difference between homeschooling and public schooling. And I think that's very, very important, message to let parents know that if you pull your kids out and you choose to homeschool, you don't get the support of the school and the teachers. You are choosing to take that on yourself.
Yeah. Homeschooling has wonderful freedoms, but there's pros and cons to everything, and you have to count the cost.
And it can be overwhelming. Like, I've chosen a path that I think it works for the way my brain works, and works for our family. And I've actually, and this might be a little anal retentive on my part, but I actually went through the Manitoba curriculum for my I've got one going into grade one and one going into grade four, but I actually pulled the K-6 curriculum and I created a spreadsheet, almost like a checklist for each subject, all the way up. And I've started working with my kids to make sure they had the basics and the fundamentals. It's like, okay, you might be going into grade four, but this is what was kind of expected in kindergarten. So let's play with this a little bit and make sure you really have those just to kind of, not that I'm going, okay, today's lesson is this. I'm not that formal, but I want to make sure that they are on par. So that helps me kind of visualize and keep track of where I'm supposed to be.
And I'm the opposite. I have never looked, well, I've looked at and then completely rejected the Manitoba curriculum just because I don't want to teach that way. And so we've gone and chosen our curriculum based on other criteria. So
see,
because
really cool.
I also know that I'm not intending to put my kids in the system. Now, I know that if we ever were in the situation where we had to, they'd probably do just fine, but it's not because I follow the scope and sequence of the Manitoba curriculum. So,
well, and I think, and for me, we kind of chose this path, and we might change it. Right now, this is kind of just to start. I wanted to kind of get my bearings.
Wrap your brain around it.
And with my oldest, university is on her path. So we are going to be using the Manitoba ISO programming for auditing so that she's doing...
And ISO stands for?
Independent Study Option. Okay. It's like the correspondence.
That's what I was... I couldn't remember what the new term was, and I didn't have a chance to call Manitoba Ed to help me.
Yeah, so. It was, you know... So what we're doing is you can actually... I found this out, and if you've got high schoolers, I thought this was really cool. You can actually purchase all the courses so that they get all the high school credits and everything else, and they could graduate homeschooling with that diploma and those credits. Now, if you do that, you're on your own, and it's $250 a course for 30 credits, and it's very expensive.
Yes.
And I was considering it. Until I realized that she can take all those courses and audit them so that she doesn't get a credit, but she at least has them and I can document them for university. And for me, that just works, you know, like when her science, they need this particular course to get into this university, I can prove she's done it.
Right.
So that's what I'm doing for her. So I've kind of worked it backwards for the younger ones. And like I said, I might change, but that's where my start is. And I think it's really neat that even just two people here have very different ways of doing about it. So there's no real wrong way to homeschool. Like everyone kind of has their own path.
The only wrong way would be to abdicate completely and leave them on their own.
So. which I'm going to say, I've seen parents do that since March, where they're like, oh, I'm overwhelmed, this isn't my job, and which was another fear of mine, that going back to school, they would spend the first half of this next year learning what they should have learned last year, and it was just this cycle of catch-up.
Right.
And that was something that was another deterrent for me. But going back to that, so I have decided for myself and my family, I shouldn't say I, my husband and I, he was involved in this too. We've decided that this is what we're going to be doing as a family, and we're going to be spending some time on that. But there's a lot of people that are like, I'm not sending my kid back this year. And that's the COVID homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And you had some really great advice online. I don't know if you remember it.
Yeah.
For parents that are doing that. And you really strongly suggested that they keep to the curriculum.
Yeah. Follow, if not the Manitoba scope and sequence, at least find a box curriculum that has everything laid out for you for that grade. Even if you're not covering the same topics, say in science or social studies, as long as they're getting the skills required for that grade, then they can go back into the system, and what they learned, even if it's a different topic, won't affect what they can learn next year. Mm-hmm. So,
and I think that's a big thing. Now, I'm a little bit, I'm lucky. I am an adult educator. I teach adults. I've actually am working towards my college certificate on that, but I've been working with adults. So I've got a little bit of that background on learning styles and teaching methodology for adults, which is different than a six-year-old, by the way. Six-year-olds are like adults in a hamster ball. And my mom was a teacher. So, you know, I do have so much respect for what they do. And when I say that I'm homeschooling and I've lost faith in the school system, it's not the teachers. I need to make that very clear. But how do you manage? Like, what is... You know, and one of the big things is when I was talking, and I've been talking to a lot of people, you know, we've done very well homeschooling the last few months, but it's not all, you know, roses and, you know, spring flowers and unicorn dust. Like, there are some real challenges. And when you were talking about your children having some issues, the other thing that parents need to realize is that the normal supports that would be in the school are now no longer there. There's no counselors, there's no therapists, there's no, unless you source them yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's not that I want, you know, to scare people away from homeschooling. I just think that this, like you said, 50 people in a matter of days were going, okay, I'm homeschooling. It's not really a decision to make that lightly.
No, and most of them aren't. Most of them are looking for answers, looking for what their options are. So
what are the biggest questions? When people come.
I went through the thing and wrote down some of them. Some of them were costs. Where do we find curriculum? Can I do this and work from home, mm-hmm. or and work full-time or part-time or whatever their situation is? How do you do it all? Short answer, we don't. How do I start legally? What do I need to do in order to homeschool? Let the province know, that kind of thing. And what about my kids' social lives?
That's the big one. But we're going to touch on that because I'm really excited about this. The socialization aspect, I'm actually really excited about. But before we do that, go back to the costs. People might be a little surprised at this.
The costs can be basically what you want them to be. It depends how much time you have and how good you are at organizing, how much help you need hand-holding, how many kids you have, all those kinds of dynamics. You can do anything from pull resources together off the internet, can be all free, to I'm going to buy an entire curriculum that comes in a box and implement what comes there. And so in early elementary, you can spend anywhere from nothing through to like $100 or $200, right up to into the thousands for high school, depending on if you're buying labs and microscopes and the whole nine yards. But it really is what you want it to be. The more hand-holding there is, the more scripting there is for the parent, that kind of thing, the more the cost will be, because someone has put the time and effort into developing that curriculum.
And they deserve to be paid for their work. So, and that is another one of the myths. You'll notice I kind of pulled some of these myths that people have been talking about, that, you know, homeschooling is only for the religious. That's not mm-hmm. true. Homeschooling is only for the rich. That's not true. I love the laugh.
Well, people who homeschool tend to end up on one income.
Yeah, and that so makes sense. Yeah. It's so that's another myth that you. It doesn't necessarily cost. Is there people that spend a lot of money? Yes. But even I tend to spend. And I started looking at this, going, "Oh wow! Like I could get crazy with this. Like I had to like pull myself
back. Could be like buying shoes,
you know?" Exactly. So I kind of stepped back, and the resources have been really great. And there's a lot of people there's selling, you know, we've gone through this textbook, now we're done it. You can mm-hmm. buy it secondhand. I'm actually going out later today and picking up some textbooks I bought. Some are actually Christian faith based, some are secular, and I'm going to just go through and take what I need out of them and then sell them to somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, and just making sure we just pass them on.
Yeah.
But the internet is huge. Mm-hmm. Huge resource. I'm shocked. When you, like, Google homeschooling materials and it's just...
You could research for days.
I have, like, in one topic. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, I want to come up with an experiment. You know, my kids and I are planning on building bird feeders for the fall. It was even overwhelming. It was like, oh my, like, again, you can build like $1,000 bird feeder if you want, or you could use like a laundry container. It was unbelievable, the resources that are out there. But I'm going to be honest, it takes time. You know, it takes time to plan. So how do I do this and work full time or work? What
I can't really speak to that. I do know of people who do it. You need a good resource system, a good support system. So sometimes parents tag team where they're working shift work. So when dad comes home, he takes over, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Mom maybe plans it, but then leaves lessons for dad to do with kids. Sometimes it's grandma or grandpa who's babysitting, who says, okay, mom set out your lessons, now go do your work, kind of thing. Others, they get up in the morning and work from home for a few hours. And then when the kids get up and they've done their chores, then they do a few hours together. And then mom goes back and does some more work in the afternoon or whatever the personal circumstances for that family are.
But
it
support.
Is possible, but it's a full-time job on top of a full-time job. So
Absolutely. And what I've done, and I've been doing since March, we set out a schedule. Mm-hmm. We did it for a couple months, decided, it doesn't necessarily work for me mm-hmm. because I'm not a schedule, you know, the kids are, I'm not. And I was finding, it was stressing me out. So we dropped it. But I work full time from home. Mm-hmm. I always have. Like, well, we're in my office right now, but my office is literally four blocks from my house and it's attached to my fitness studio. So often my kids will be, in, mm-hmm. they'll be like doing gym class. So it's a balancing act though.
Is.
And I've only been doing it for a few months.
Mm-hmm. Well, every year we start out with a schedule that becomes a routine through the year. We don't stick to the exact times to switch subjects or that kind of thing, but then it gives us a routine to follow. I know who is supposed to come to me next, and they know when to be ready to work with me, that kind of thing. So
when you do that, like, and there's a lot of people, you sound very similar to me. It's like, okay, here are your lessons. This is our goal for the day. This is what we need to get accomplished. I do that. It's like, I don't care when you do it or how it gets done necessarily, but this has to be done. But there's a lot of other parents out there that are homeschooling that do it completely opposite, and it's kind of like this free range life skills type of teaching.
The kind of thing that you're talking about, being able to follow the public school system, that kind of thing would be more traditional schooling. We use what's called Charlotte Mason homeschooling. So it's built off of reading good quality literature, doing oral narrations. It separates the LA components in the early years, so you learn spelling separate from reading, separate from being able to learn to write. And once you've been doing oral narrations and those other skills for several years, then around grade four, then they start putting them together to be able to write what they've already been communicating orally. Those kinds of things. And so I do the curriculum in a box thing, except for math. It all comes from one publisher, and they send me what we're going to do for that year, and it's a 2-page spread. What we do today is on 2 pages. There's tomorrow. Here's the next day. And so that's how I'm able to manage five, six kids in school at the same time. Without that, I would go stir crazy. However, there's others who do something called unit studies where, okay, we're going to explore a topic together. We're going to go and check out birds. And now, okay, little kid in kindergarten, Johnny's going to go color a picture of a bird. And the one in grade three is going to go label the parts of a bird. And the one in grade seven is going to go talk about habitats. And the one in grade 10 is going to go do anatomy. So you base all of their lessons off the same topic, but they all have their own assignments.
And that's what I'm leaning towards. And then, so I can keep them together.
There's unschooling.
Yes.
And that's a whole different topic altogether where it's completely child-led. So in unit studies, maybe you're following the topic that the child wants to learn about, but in unschooling, you say, okay, go ahead and learn about birds. Now, what do you need? How are you going to do that? And you facilitate their learning, but you don't direct it in any way. Mm-hmm. And that one I would have extreme trouble with because I like to be in control too much.
I'm so glad you said that because that's all I was thinking. And no disrespect to those that it works for. Mm-hmm. For me, I don't think I could handle that.
My inability to unschool is fear-based. I would fear that I would be missing something, that they mm-hmm. wouldn't be learning the things that they don't enjoy learning, right? And so that there would be gaps in what they're learning.
Well, I tell my kids that, and this is something that I've been saying even before we even looked at homeschooling, that you do the things you have to do to get the things you want to do.
Yeah.
So it's like, we don't always get to do the fun stuff. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, we got to do the sucky, boring stuff, but it's necessary.
And then after a few years of that, some of my kids come back and, Mom, I like history. So
yeah, you know, and that unit-based, I didn't know what it was called, unit but basically studies, yeah. That's what we're doing is I've come up with subjects that's like, okay, and I've already kind of got the fall. I'm waiting for the leaves to change color because I got all these cool things and ideas. Yeah. Not that I'm hurrying summer, but I'm just saying. So that is really cool.
Yeah.
So we've kind of talked about, you know, all of that stuff. You got a whole list there. What else?
What was next on the questions? How do you do it all? Well, I already said we don't. There were things that I did with my older children that I just simply cannot do with my younger children. Just time-based. Mm-hmm. There were things that I did when I had a couple of kids, but we weren't officially homeschooling yet, that I've had to give up. The mom's days in town. We have to do 5 days of school a week in order for my high schoolers to get through the material in a year. Those kinds of things. So we have to make concessions and yeah.
And it is priorities. It is a family lifestyle. Like, mm-hmm. I joke around about how I've decided this, but my husband really was a big part of this. This was something we talked about. My kids were involved in the conversation because this is a huge lifestyle change.
Yeah.
And even now, my six-year-old is like, oh, when I go back to grade one, and I said, well, don't forget, we're going to be homeschooling. You're already in grade one. You're just doing it from home. Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah. You know, like, it's we've talked about it. This was a huge decision. It did mean I had to give up some of, you know, the reality of I was looking to, you know, go back to work now that my youngest was going into grade one.
Yeah.
Not that I haven't ever stopped working, but I was going to be working differently.
Yeah.
So it is it's a family thing. This isn't just, I couldn't imagine doing this if you were at odds with each other.
Yeah.
Over the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, our whole society seems to be based off of school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't want to, you know, insult anyone, but child care, school really has become child care.
Mm-hmm.
For most of us, so that we can work, or, you know, like you said, we get up and then we have the day, we got to be back for the bus or whatever. Our whole life seems to be rotated around the public school system.
Yeah.
And now when you take that out, it's, you're talking full-time 24/7 parenting.
Yeah.
And that can be really overwhelming, especially when you have a lot of kids. And it's something I'm going to be honest, for those of you who've followed my podcast for a long time, I swore I would never. I was a business person. I was all of those things. But this is something now all of a sudden I've embraced and I think is for the best for my family. And, you know, 6 months from now, who knows, I might change my mind, but I can't see that. We've been doing it for a while. So when you are talking to the parents that just want to do this for the year because of COVID, what's the best advice? Like, I know it says curriculum, you know, follow the curriculum as much as possible, but I'm finding that a lot of people seem to still think that they have the option of having that teacher support and that they can just go to the school and say, give me homework packages. How do you address that? Like, without, you know, deterring them and saying, you know...
No, I think the first thing they need to do is take a look at what the different styles of homeschooling are. You can get package curriculum, ones that are grade level appropriate in any of the styles, but knowing what kind of style will work for you is the best, because then you're not trying to do something that was fit for someone else. You're not trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. If you Google eclectic homeschool philosophy quiz,
okay. There's eclectic. I'll put this up on the screen.
Okay, I'll give you the thing. The eclectic homeschool philosophy quiz. There's, I'm not even sure how many questions, about 30 questions or so, and it's multiple choice. So pick one of four options sort of like you strongly agree, you agree, neither here nor there, you disagree, or you strongly disagree about a whole bunch of different options of ways to, and styles and reasonings for homeschooling. And when you're done, you give them an email address and they send you a listing of all of the homeschool styles that they have, and there's some that I had never heard of in that, and they give you a score. So you might have 15s, or you might have 3s, or you might have minus 10s on whether those styles are a good fit for you. And I would take the top 3 to 5 of them and then research those more intensely, Google what they are, what's required, that kind of thing, and then ask, okay, I fit the unit study, what are the curriculums I could get to do grade 3 unit studies for this year? Or I fit in a Charlotte Mason, now where can I go to find something that's set up for me to do grade 3 in Charlotte Mason style? And then that should give you a good...
Well, and then you can fit it to your budget as well, because, you know, there are a lot of people out there that can't afford to go and buy the curriculum in a box, but there's a lot of free resources that you can kind of Google and print off and things like that. I'd found some really great websites for math games. So my kids actually think they're playing video games. I love that. They actually think they're... And they wake up, can I play this? I'm like, yes, you can. You know, they don't even realize they've done an hour worth of math before I've even had a cup of coffee. So, socialization. The number one thing that people say when I say we are homeschooling... Well, what about the kids socializing?
How do you define socializing? That's, do you want them to be able to only be able to relate well with their peers, or do you want them to be able to relate to all people out of all age groups?
I love that.
When you're homeschooling, you can not only have them relating daily with their siblings and their parents, but you have grandparents, you have the people that you talk to at the post office or at the mall or at the dentist's office, and they're used to talking to people of all age levels. They tend to actually be better relating to people at a younger or older than themselves than they are to peers, and that's where the what about socialization becomes the question, because they feel awkward maybe in groups of their peers because they don't have the same interests and social goals maybe as they do, but they're far more equipped to relate to the gamut of society, which when you start to go, when you leave grade 12 and go to work, you're not dealing only with 19-year-olds anymore.
That's right. And I love that you said it that way, because I have found in my experience that when I have been having discussions with either teenagers or young adults from the homeschooling, I actually taught a college course last year, and one of my students had been homeschooled. And I actually started talking to her about it then, because her whole family had homeschooled, and so I asked a lot of questions. So this was something that's been on my mind even before COVID. And every single one of these students or teenagers that I've spoken to are some of the most articulate, well-spoken, polite, and respectful young people I think I've ever met. And that was, meeting her last fall was one of those things that went, wow. Okay, here you are in a college level and you are, wow, and you've been homeschooled. That socialization no longer, because I got to admit, that was my big question. And then I realized, again, I've been defining socialization completely you know, inaccurately. That there's more to it than can you hang out in the hallway with some kids your own age.
Yeah.
But there are those types of groups. I mean...
And homeschoolers are no different from public schoolers in the sense that you have some that are extremely outgoing mm-hmm. and you have those who are extremely shy and reticent. And I knew in high school, I knew some homeschoolers who were extremely shy. And yeah, you go, oh my goodness, if that's homeschooling, I'm not sure I want to do that to my kids. But they're not like that as adults. Having seen them as children being so shy, if they had been in public schools, maybe that would have been even worse because they would have been picked on because of their shyness. But as adults, they're wonderful people that can walk up and talk to anyone.
Well, and I think that's so really important.
And you end up with those kids in public school too.
Yeah. That's a really good perspective. And I mean, other than COVID, and you'll notice that we're sitting, I don't know if you could tell on the camera, I had to work on this, I'm kind of back and forth, but we're, you know, 6 feet apart and we're following all the COVID protocols, which has interfered with a lot of the group activities, like you said, but I was really shocked. I mean, I live in Rivers, you live just outside of Minnedosa. I was really shocked at how many people in Western Manitoba, in all of our little small towns around here, homeschool. And there's teen groups, there's elementary groups, there's... So it's almost like there's more socialization than what I've seen in public school. It's like, I don't remember all these different groups and activities and everything with, you know, the parents of the kindergarten class. Actually, I don't even know if I knew any of them.
Their kids are in school all day.
Yeah, you know, so it was like, wow, yeah. Like...
There's sports and there's service clubs and there's... Yeah, 4-H church. There's all sorts of activities that our kids are involved in outside of homeschooling.
Which, just if you are in Rivers and you notice, we are starting 4-H here in Rivers again this fall. It's been shut down for a few years.
Yeah.
So there is all of those different things. Mm-hmm. So I am like super excited about the decision we made. Like I said, it's been something that's been on my mind for a long time as a parent. And I never thought that I would like kind of pull that plug in COVID. Gave me that opportunity,
yeah,
and I loved it. And we've seen that, you know, on my social media even since March, and people were going, okay, you're the only one. I hate this. But that was not homeschooling.
Yeah.
Because I had already started kind of researching it, I kind of did my own thing instead of following what the school was doing. And homeschooling is not fighting with your kids to go do a lesson that you don't even understand. It's about working with them to go, let's do this together and figure it out.
Yeah. My kids grade 1 to 3, their homeschooling time is, half of it is sitting on my lap while we read together.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, yeah, to have my 8-year-old go off to school every day just makes me cry to think about it. But he gets to snuggle with me. He struggles with reading. And so he gets to snuggle with mom and do what works for him. And his 6-year-old sister has surpassed him in reading, but that doesn't matter because he's got his own thing and he'll catch up eventually.
Well, and they do have their own thing. This is one thing that really excited me. And I've got a 6 and an 8-year-old as well. Mm-hmm. And what really, really brought it home for me is our 6-year-old in kindergarten was really struggling to start reading.
Mm-hmm.
And within 3 weeks of being with me at home where we had that focused one-on-one time, he's reading. But what shocked me is while we were sitting at the table doing math, he was really bored with the, you know, 1 apple plus 2 apple kindergarten level math. And he wanted to know what his brother was doing, which was multiplication. So I taught him, I'm like, well, if you want to see what Ivan's doing, I'll show you.
Yeah.
He can now recite his multiplication tables because that's like his aptitude. It's
yeah.
like,
that's his, you brain know, was cognitively ready for it.
Yeah. And yeah. It's like, holy smokes, like, wow. You know, so he might not have been the strongest reader to start,
yeah.
but when it comes to math, he just like, wow.
Yeah.
And I kind of, we step back a bit going, okay, how far do I go with this? Because if we are going back to public school and he goes into grade 1 expecting long division, we're in trouble. Like the teachers are in trouble. So it was one of those things that with that, you know, and it's not, it, I didn't sit there and go, okay, 8:30, this is math, you know, actually I started that way,
yeah.
But it was like, okay, for math, we're going to sit down and work on math for 20 minutes and then you can go watch a show for 20 minutes. And so that it wasn't a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched a lot of the parents struggle with this idea. And I just want to touch on this a bit of this is how it's done in school, this is how you have to do it at home. But that's not true. There's a process called, if you are going to homeschool, called de-schooling, mm-hmm. which is kind of wrapping your brain as well as your kid's brain around the fact that the traditional school setting no longer exists. So I've been doing this since March. But can you explain de-schooling for those who are thinking about coming into a homeschooling setting?
Yeah, it's taking time to reprocess what education looks like, what education is going to be like for your family. They often suggest using a month for every year the child has been in public system. So if they went to preschool, count that year too, kindergarten straight up. So if a child is in grade 3, maybe they need 4 or 5 months to de-school. But a child in high school might need an entire mm-hmm. school year to just be on their own without formal lessons. It doesn't mean you don't learn anything at all, but you don't necessarily have a formal curriculum to follow. You take time to read lots of good books, both them on their own if they're reading already, or orally, mm-hmm. Parent reading to the child. You do puzzles, you play games, you go visit museums, which will be harder this year, but visit places and see your community. You build things, you engineer and craft and all those things that you never had time to do when they had to be in public school. You work on household stuff, because when they're around 24/7, you have a house that needs to be taken care of, and mom can't do that and school too. So it has to be a working partnership for the whole family to learn those housekeeping skills.
Those are important skills. Now, we have seen this, and again, one of the big things I have seen and one of the driving forces that brought me to homeschooling was being an employer and hiring people into my company that have a formal education but lacked life skills. Mm-hmm. They didn't have those transferable skills of, you know, sometimes common sense. Just, you know, being able to physically, you know, learn how to put a shelf on a wall. Mm-hmm. Like, just actual practical life skill applications that, you know, they might be able to conjugate verbs in 3 languages, but ask them to change a tire and they're like, oh. And so those are really important things too. I've spent a lot of time with my daughter in the last 6 months cooking mm-hmm. and teaching her the basics of how to run a kitchen. And that's not a gender thing. Don't be emailing me saying, because my boys are learning it too. It's just she's older. So don't be like going all feminist on me. There's no one bigger than that than me. But, you know, the boys are taking over more chores and things like that too. So those are really important. And I loved one of the things you said, and I read all on these groups. I read everything. And one of the greatest things, if it wasn't you that said this, it was very close in the group. And someone had asked how they start to homeschool preschool. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was you or someone else that responded and said, you already are. Yeah, it was you. It was like, you already are. We are teaching our children every single day. It's just not that formal setting. And we need to give ourselves some credit for that.
Yeah. Usually most kids, when they go into preschool or kindergarten, are already learning their alphabet. We just mm-hmm. sort of think that teachers can teach them to read, but we can too.
And it doesn't have to be, you know, formal, you know, what works.
And you don't need formal teachers training. You just need an interest in learning alongside them.
I have learned so much. I am actually super excited. I shouldn't say to get started, because we already have. We never stopped. Yeah. I actually am a little bit disappointed in myself that I pulled back when I did. If I would have made this decision 3 months ago, we would have been that much further. But we're having so much fun as a family. And even last night, you know, we were sitting around the fire and we were roasting hot dogs. And even our conversations are, you know, based around learning. We were talking about, I don't know how we got on the topic of the skeletal makeup of a giraffe. but, you know, my oldest was explaining to the youngest how all this worked. And I'm like, wow, this is school.
Yeah.
Sitting around the fire talking about giraffe bones.
A life of learning.
And it was it was an eye-opener for me that there's this whole different perspective that school doesn't have to be at a desk and formalized.
Yeah.
So if someone is listening or watching to this, and we are in Manitoba, but I do know that thanks to Mr. Ed the Sock on the FU Network. You could be listening to me anywhere in the country right now. So whatever your province looks like for you, let's just touch really quickly on that. So if people are interested in homeschooling, what is the legal process for it? People are going to be shocked over this.
You go to the Manitoba Education website and go to the homeschooling section and you download the notification form. And notice that it is a notification form. It's not a registration form. It's not an application form. We are simply notifying the Manitoba Education of what our choice is for our children's education. It has always been legal to homeschool in Manitoba. You fill it out and it's only one page. You have your children's information and your information at the top, and then you list what resources you're going to use for LA, math, science, and social studies, and then there's also room for other if you want to include anything else.
And those resources do not have to be very detailed and specific. No. You're going to be watching documentaries, you're going to be, you know, doing the correspondence, whatever, right? Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be
it
nailed
down. It can be a
specific
curriculum name, or it can be child interest led, using board games and internet and that kind of thing. Yeah, whatever style you've chosen, that kind of thing. And there's room to change that in January if you aren't sure. In September, you write down what you're hoping to do and you can change it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I might be doing that.
Yeah. And then we have to send in a report in January and in June of where our kids are at in our plan.
And that's it.
In Manitoba.
You know, so people are very concerned. It's like, what are the legal... You're the parent. It is perfectly legal.
Choice.
You notify the government. When you do that, they are no longer registered in school, mm-hmm. and you no longer get those supports. So you can't have it both ways,
no.
though.
No.
And that's really important
in
for people.
In some provinces, they do get financial aid depending on which level of oversight they choose. Sometimes they can register with a local school board, that kind of thing. In Manitoba, you don't have any connection with your school division or anything like that, unless you choose to do so. I do know of some families who have kids who take some courses through the public school. For instance, one started band in grade 6 and then home ec in shop in grade 7 and 8, and then they go full-time to public school in high school. Others just take one or two electives at public school, but that's by choice and by contacting the school directly. It depends on the school principal and that division, mm-hmm. whether they allow that. And for those of us who choose not to do that, there is also no funding available in Manitoba. So that is a thing to consider when you start.
It's really important to know that there is no funding in Manitoba. I know other provinces are different. And you will still pay school taxes. Just so you know, if you're looking at that going, well, I'll take my school taxes back and use that. That doesn't work that way. We all pay school taxes.
Yeah.
I pay school taxes on my commercial building. We all pay school taxes. That's not going to change. This is not a money maker. You're not going to save money. You're probably going to spend some money.
Well, you do save on the name brand clothes and the school lunches and the field trips and the fundraising and that kind of thing. But yeah.
Oh, I never thought about that. No more fundraising forms. I'm one of those parents that all through public school, they would come in and I'm like, don't ask me to fundraise. Don't ask me to sell my friends stuff. Just tell me how, you know, let me write a check. It's just, I don't want to do any of that.
Yeah.
So there's another bonus. But like you said, it's not for everybody and it's a personal decision. And you are a great resource. Thank you so much. I absolutely love the group. I think it's really, really amazing. And I love how it is so non-judgmental. Like you said, we're all doing this for different reasons. We all have different paths. Some of us are faith-based, some of us are secular, some of us are, you know, have the resources to buy, some of us don't. Like, there's so many different ways of doing it, and it's all okay.
Yeah.
I love that. So thank you for being here. Okay. Thank you for sharing this. I know you have answered a ton of questions, and this is like the hot topic, at least in Manitoba, with COVID. And if someone chooses to homeschool for a year, you can put your kids back in public school next year if that works for you. I don't intend on, like, this to me is not a COVID reaction. And if that is a reaction for you, that's okay too. But
for those with high schoolers, though, there is the additional consideration of the fact that if you do not get official credits through Manitoba Education, your child will not graduate with a diploma from Manitoba Ed. Our kids don't get that. We provide, I make up a transcript of the courses that I consider sort of equivalent, and I provide a portfolio, And then they may have to consider doing other things like challenging tests, whether that's the GED or whether that's entrance exams for a specific university or whether that's doing the CAT tests or something like that. We haven't had to run into any of those yet. And all the homeschoolers I know of that have entered post-secondary have not had an issue with entering it. All of the post-secondary institutions in Manitoba have policies in place for dealing with homeschool mm-hmm. registrations so that they're not looking for the diploma. And there are ways around it. That is a cost to consider. And if they are going back into public school, they may not get the diploma when their friends do. That doesn't mean they don't graduate. They do. But just things to consider.
And that's a really good point, because I actually looked really... My daughter would be going into grade 10. And she does have her eyes set on university. So we did look into that. And if you are looking in... Because I've looked into this so much, if you are looking to homeschool a high schooler from grade 9 or up, because that's when the credit system kicks in, is grade mm-hmm. 9, contact the independent study option for Manitoba Education. So ISO, what you can do is enroll them in these ISO courses for credit. You will pay. Now, if you work with the school will reimburse you. But if you pull them out, so like she's taking an ISO course, she started it in June. And once she's completed, the school would reimburse us because she was enrolled in the school and it was a course that wasn't available here. Okay. And what the school told us is that they don't like them to take more than 2 ISO courses at a time mm-hmm. and no courses that were available here, only the stuff that wasn't available. Now, that would not work for us to homeschool because 2 courses at a time, it would take her 20 years to graduate. But you do get credit that way. Mm-hmm. So it is an option. And if you choose to homeschool or school from home full time using those ISO credits, you will pay. You won't get reimbursed, but they will get credit for when they go back in or when they graduate, they'll get an official diploma. But you're on the hook for those costs. And they're about $250 a course.
And you're on the hook for figuring out how to implement those courses, no matter what style they are.
Exactly. It's like, this is the course. Yeah. And so if you are not, they do have tutors available by distance. If you have never done any remote learning, and this is where a lot of people struggled in March, it's not the same as being in the classroom. It's not the same as being sitting there with your mom or your dad going through a lesson. You have to be very independent. You have to be self-directed and you have to be able to ask for help. I do a lot. I actually have done 3 college diplomas through distance learning. I love distance learning, but it's not for everyone. And you have to have internet accessibility and all that knowledge, that tech knowledge. So it is an option, but it's, again, pros and cons. Mm-hmm. And we've chosen not to go that way. And I was really excited to find that out. I actually went on both the University of Manitoba and Brandon University to see what they expected from homeschoolers for registration, so that as we're starting in grade 10, I know what to keep track of and what portfolios and things like that to build. But I wanted to do it now instead of finding out in grade 12 that it's like I haven't, now I've got to go back 3 years. So it's not as simple as that's it, my kids are out of school. Mm-hmm. But it also doesn't have to be overwhelming and super complicated either. Exactly. So thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
And for those of you interested in the Westman area, there is a wonderful Facebook group, the Westman Homeschooling Connections.
Westman Homeschool Connection, yeah.
I don't know why I have trouble with that. And of course, the Manitoba Association for Schooling at Home, MASH, they have a Facebook page too. Lots of great resources. I cannot believe how supportive you were when I came in and said, okay. And I did the same rookie thing. What do I need to know? It's like, there's so much you need to know. And it was kind of one of those things that I started laughing about going, yeah, I worded that wrong. But
there's also one other association in Manitoba, the Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools.
Okay.
It runs with a membership where MASH is free. Matches has a membership fee, but they offer a newsletter. They offer a lending library, and mm-hmm. they run a conference every spring, COVID depending. And they have an entire curriculum hall, so you can go in and hands-on and see those curricula. And yeah,
oh, very, it's very cool.
They bring in keynote speakers, both local, international, national and international speakers, and have workshops, and it's an amazing weekend.
And I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, that it is the Christian-based homeschoolers, but that even that runs the gamut from, you know, there's a whole spectrum.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I grew up Roman Catholic, so there's a whole spectrum of Christian-based faith and education styles. So that includes a lot of different families and beliefs. It's awesome. Yeah. That is
and
so
they
cool.
even have a grad recognition that weekend. It's awesome.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's so cool.
Recognize all the grads that will graduate that year, whether they're done at that point or not, because it's held at the end of March. So
I love it. So there are so many different resources out there and great supports, people who are extremely knowledgeable. I am not necessarily one of them. That's why I had you here. I've done a lot of research, but I haven't actually implemented it yet. So maybe next year I'll have a little bit more, but that's why I ask questions. So,
and if you're outside Westmount looking for a support group, you can contact Manitoba Education, and they have a list of the different support groups that are around the province. So.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Larissa. This has been fabulous. And for all of you that are concerned about schools, concerned about COVID, I hear you. Whatever decision works for you and your family, I'm sure it's going to be the best one. Just know that you're not on your own, that there's a lot of resources out there and a lot of support. And I look forward to continuing this journey. I'll keep you updated on how we're doing it. And if you have any questions, post it on my Facebook page. And as usual, I guarantee I probably won't know the answer, but I'll find out for you. It's how I learn. So thank you again. And everybody else, I'll see you next week.
You've been keeping it real with Michelle Badusky. You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
FU stands for us, you and me, and this is fun, the FU Network.